welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Good. We just we had some big storms up here on Lake Michigan the other day, and we woke up to what you never want to wake up to, which is, Mark, where's our sailboat?
Oh, no.
We have a little 13-foot Hobie wave that we just got, and I'm you know, one of my middle-aged, fantasies is to learn how to sail, so I'm learning how to sail on this little Hobie wave, and I look down there, and it's 100 feet down the beach lying on its side, and I have no idea how it got down there. The mast was toward the 100-foot side, so I think it probably floated out and then floated down the beach a little bit and then got capsized. So,
yeah.
But it's okay. It's okay.
Well, good.
So we'll be taking it out later on.
Yeah.
Today.
The abstract we're going to talk about today is interesting. It gets to the issue of acute abdomens, one of the more common surgical problems, particularly appendicitis, and how we manage patients once we have collected our information. And information that we use for diagnosis comes from the history in terms of temporal onset and other associated symptoms, the physical exam. There are some evidence-based approaches to the physical exam and some results that we can get from imaging studies. And some of these imaging studies have given us some new insight into being able to confidently diagnose, either rule in or rule out appendicitis. Once we've got what we feel is a clinical appendicitis, traditionally, if it was appendicitis, we would involve the surgeons, and the surgeons would come down and do their rebound tenderness and push and prod and eventually decide whether to take the patient to the OR. The hospital and perhaps insurers were looking at appendicitis rates, false positives and false negatives. Clearly, you don't want to have too many of one or too many of the other. The question always remained, are we over-treating people surgically with appendicitis? So this study was published in the BMJ. I think it's a very interesting study, and it asks, for patients presenting with acute uncomplicated appendicitis, are antibiotics an effective first-line treatment as opposed to bringing them to the OR? Mark, what did they find? It's a meta-analysis, right?
Yeah, it's a meta-analysis of four studies. And, it reminds me of the British Medical Journal has a Christmas issue, which is very funny. And they, have these sort of goofy little articles. And they had one by someone who was very critical of evidence-based practice, who said, well, we need to have a randomized trial of parachutes for jumping out of airplanes.
Right.
And we'll have the EBM experts go first. And we'll randomize it. And just to make sure it's fair, we'll do a crossover trial. And so, it's the same kind of thing. It's like, how could you possibly study, appendicitis and surgery and an alternative to that? But, this is kind of cool. They searched for, the usual big search of the literature, and they found four randomized trials that compared antibiotic therapy with appendectomy for uncomplicated acute appendicitis. So it wasn't just people who weren't surgical candidates and we can't do anything, we're just going to throw antibiotics. And these were folks who came in with early, or uncomplicated appendicitis, no perforation, no gangrenous appendix. And they, looked at the bibliographies and said, did the usual thing. They had a couple people look at all the studies and extract the data and compare their notes and make sure they agreed. And they found four studies with 900 patients. All of the studies enrolled, as I said, all comers except those who were either allergic to an antibiotic or who had a perforation or a complication. Overall, the quality of the evidence was rated as low using some of these standard scales, but that's mainly because you couldn't mask patients and surgeons. You couldn't blind them, say, whether or not they had surgery. At least they would have been hugely impractical or difficult to do. So there was some heterogeneity between the studies, but general trends were in the same direction. And basically, treatment with antibiotics resulted in a 63% success rate rate at one-year follow-up. So those folks, of those who got the antibiotics, 63% never needed surgery. In some cases, you know, a lot of these, when I looked at the individual trials, what they typically did was the people randomized to antibiotics got a couple days of IV antibiotics, and if during that time they were getting worse or showing signs of complications, they went to the OR. And if not, then they went home on oral antibiotics, and then they saw what happened. And of those who went home, 20% were readmitted within a year and eventually underwent appendectomy. And of those, about 20% had either perforated or gangrenous appendix, which is actually pretty similar to the general appendicitis population. About 20% have perforation or gangrene at the time of surgery. The antibiotic group also had a lower risk of peritonitis or perforation or wound infection, so the kind of things that antibiotics you would expect it to help with. There was no difference between the groups in terms of overall hospital length of stay or the risk of developing complicated appendicitis. So very interesting stuff. You know, there's a reasonable success rate. About one in five who are treated and go home eventually do need an appendicitis. It'll be interesting to see whether this has any impact on practice.
Even appendicitis, I mean, you know, it's associated with significant rehabilitation and it's associated with pain. And if four-fifths of the patients do okay, that's a pretty good number.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to be, you know, obviously thoughtful about it. And if a patient, you know, I wouldn't be too comfortable doing this in a patient where I didn't think they could reliably, you know, tell me, yeah, you know, that they're having recurrent symptoms. So if it's somebody where, you know, they would either not be able to or not be willing to or have some other barriers to coming back for care, you know, I wouldn't be too comfortable with this. But, you know, and the other thing is, you know, surgeons are paid to do surgery and they're trained to do surgery. And, you know, when you have a hammer, you know, it's hard not to you know, pound in some nails. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, in other health systems that are organized differently, certainly in less well-resourced health systems in less, you know, in poorer countries, this might be a much cheaper and better alternative for them than having to necessarily do surgery on all these folks.
Excellent. We'll keep our eye on it. Thanks, Mark. A very interesting poem. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right. Talk to you then, Mike.
Thanks.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.